What remarkable precision. Mark 1:15. I love this verse. Fulfilled is the era, but near is the kingdom. Fulfilled is the era, that is Daniel's 69th 7. But near, not fulfilled, near is the kingdom. Precision of language. Our Lord knew what he was talking about. Oh, not to mention in the book of Isaiah, you know, and when he picks up Isaiah, the scroll, we talked about that earlier, and he stops, you know, the acceptable year of the Lord, hands the scroll to the deputy, and skips the part, and the day of vengeance of our God. But in the book of Isaiah, it's one sentence to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, separated by a comma, because Isaiah is a pre-exile prophet and he doesn't see the distinction between the coming in humiliation at the end of 69 sevens and the coming in glory at the end of the final seven. But Jesus knows, because he's in on the secrets, I would say. And so he shuts the scroll, rolls it up, hands it to the deputy in the middle of a sentence, and does not continue to read, and the day of vengeance, because the day of vengeance is future. Because of this secret administration of the grace of God, where God is not enacting vengeance, not even close, he's conciliated to the world through Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. I love making this kind of sense. Now, there's this interesting 6,000-year parallel, and by this, it is quite possible that we can predict the year that the millennium will dawn. And boy, will the preterists be embarrassed when this. They're just going to be so embarrassed when the millennium dawns and all this happens. They're going to go, whoops, I guess we were kind of wrong about that. You just missed it by a little. There were 6 days of creation, and then God stopped on the seventh day. Interesting that the millennium is a 1,000-year period where God rest stops and Israel enters into their rest. And so if that's a parallel, then we should see 6,000 years of humanity's efforts apart from God, during which mankind does his utmost and fails magnificently, gloriously, and happily. In which case, if we can know the year of the creation of Adam and we count 6,000 years, then we can know the inauguration of the 1,000-year kingdom. And I think we can. I'm looking into this, studying this, and I do plan on presenting this to you in this series on the book of Revelation. So prime yourselves for that. Now, the next part of the prophecy of the 69 sevens, and the last part we're going to deal with here this week, before we go next week to literal or figurative in the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We're in verse 26 now of Daniel 9. After the 62 sevens, Messiah will be cut off. Remember, that's the 62 sevens added to the seven sevens. So really, it's 69 sevens. Messiah will be cut off, and there is no adjudication for him. That is, all the judgment due him, the favorable judgment, was not given him. The city and the holy place shall be laid in ruins with the other governors coming. This is a concise, concordant translation. If we were doing a thorough study of the book of Daniel, I'd go into this with you. But this is a prophecy concerning Titus, that the city shall be laid in ruins. That's a prophecy about the destruction of 70 AD. All you preterists, this is where you want to camp out, right here. Daniel 9:26. The city, holy place, shall be laid in ruins with the other governors coming. Then it ends by an overflow. And again, we have this period in here. This is another end spoken of, the overflow. And then there's another end of war and desolations that will be decided. So there are two ends here after the destruction of Jerusalem, prophesied here by Daniel, destruction of Jerusalem by Titus in 70 AD. This is not the end. This is a way station to the end. Can't get into all that here because we're finishing up here at the 77s. But look at this plain passage. After the 62 sevens, Messiah will be cut off. Anyone in Israel, any of the priests, the Sanhedrin, who cared to look into Daniel and take it seriously, they would have known that the era had been fulfilled. And the entrance of Jesus in Messiah was exactly, 133,880 days from the faring forth of the decree to rebuild Jerusalem. And there he was. And to see this prophecy that Messiah will be cut off. Is there any other passage really that speaks of human unbelief in the face of plain scriptural evidence? I have plain scriptural evidence that I gave you earlier this week. The 1 Timothy 4:10, God's the Savior of all humanity. It says it right there. God is the Savior of all humanity. And most of Christianity, I will dare say 99.9% of it, thinks that God's an eternal tormentor and that there are going to be some people who aren't saved. And that verse is right in front of them. And they're going to be ashamed when they see it because their vision is tainted. They already have a set belief in their mind because they twist other passages of Scripture. They believe mistranslations of the Scripture, such as the mistranslation of Aeonian, and they totally screw the pooch. Totally screw the pooch. So, if they had gotten this one passage, the priests, they would not have crucified the Messiah. And this, Christianity, in the end, is going to do the same thing that the Jews did to Christ. The vaunted Christian religion who thinks that if we were alive in the days of Jesus, we wouldn't have killed him. Oh, really? You're going to join the Antichrist because you're going to think that the Antichrist is Christ. Or you're going to think he's his representative and you're going to go for it wholesale because you don't know the eras of Paul. You don't understand the times or the seasons any more than your predecessors do who crucified Christ. You're going to do the same thing. It's a total marvel. And I'm telling you, it's sad. It's sad, but it's going to happen. And these Christians who will try not to fulfill Scripture, the bad Scripture of joining the Antichrist and being a part of the bestial system, the beast, they're going to be the body of the beast. They're going to do it. They're going to be in an alliance with Israel. And they're all going to be lining up for it. The very people who would swear they're not fulfilling the behests of Satan, they are. The priests thought that they were doing the work of their father Abraham. Jesus said, you're of your father, the adversary. Same thing with the Christians of our era. They are going to do the work of their father, the adversary. Their father's not God. Their father's the adversary. Because they are institutionalized people. They don't have the spirit of God in them. They have the spirit of the adversary. And because they don't love the truth of God. They hate it. I know this because when I bring them the truth, they reject it. Oh, you think you have the truth, Martin? Yeah, I do. I know I have the truth. The spirit of God testifies to me and the scriptures correctly cut, correctly translated, correctly understood. No adjudication for him. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Their belief in his coming glory blinded them to this fact. Even Peter said when Jesus predicted his death, oh Lord, we should not have this for you. We won't let this happen. Not even Peter, the chief of the disciples, believed Daniel 9:24-26. Messiah will be cut off. It's absolutely unbelievable. And you will find in the history of God's people, and in all biblical history, you will find that the religious majority are always, always wrong. And you will find that the scriptures that told the truth are there, such as the one we looked at in Mark 1:15. To believe it. That the era is fulfilled. The kingdom is near. Not fulfilled, but near. You can look and see how God doesn't count time when Israel's retrogressing. You can look and see that. You can look and see that the kingdom indeed does come with observation, but only if you study a concordance or read a version that is concordant and find out that the word's not observation, it's scrutiny, and that the kingdom indeed is going to come. And you can read in 1 and 2 Thessalonians that is going to be a vast deception. And the entire earth is going to go after the Antichrist. And Israel is going to go after the Antichrist. And Christianity is going to go after the Antichrist. And the people who are going to still be looking for the apostasy are going to be the fabric of the apostasy, namely the Christian religion. History does repeat itself, but no one will be able to say that the truth was not there. No one will be able to say that the truth was not written, but it's because people are not careful? It's because people are more in love with the traditions of man rather than the truth of God. And the fact that people don't want to take the time to study, to show themselves approved, or to learn from a teacher who has shown himself to be approved. They'd rather go with the flow of mainstream. Going with the flow of mainstream today is as dangerous as it was in the day of our Lord. They overlooked the prophecy that Messiah would be cut off. Today, the prophecy is overlooked that the confederation of people against Israel will be a religious confederation, and that the Antichrist doesn't come against Christ, because the prefix anti means instead of, not against. The Christians won't see that they are actually standing against Christ, because they're just like the Pharisees, again, it can't be overemphasized, who thought that they were sons of Abraham and they would never do the wrong thing. But because they love their souls, because they're of a Joel Osteen mentality, because they belong to the world's most popular religion, they feel warm and cozy and accepted. But destruction is waiting at the door because they're unaware of the scriptural precedent that God tells his secrets to his friends, and it's always a small group. It's always a small group. And yet they have the witness. They have the testimony. My website's out there. Clyde Pilkington's website is out there. Dr. Bullinger has great writings concerning these times, concerning the 77s of Daniel, concerning the future kingdom. And yet they refuse to hear. I know behind that is God locks them up in stubbornness. And this is a good way to wrap up this week. Romans 11:32. God locks up altogether in stubbornness. Even we were once locked up in stubbornness. And his goal is so that he can have mercy on those same all. The same all that are locked up in stubbornness. To the purpose that God will eventually, 1 Corinthians 15:28, be all in all. Until that far distant time when God reconciles a universe to himself. He is calling out a people, a remnant, a small remnant. It's a small remnant out of Israel that will be given wisdom to go through the day of indignation, to see what God is doing, and to come out the other end victorious or to be martyred. Likewise, the body of Christ is a tiny remnant being shown the secrets of Paul, that they are distinct from the truth given to Israel, that they go beyond forgiveness into justification. They go beyond condemnation and judging into peace, into conciliation. And they go beyond an earthly expectation into a heavenly expectation. This is the expectation that I want for you. Hi, folks. I wanted to add this postscript to that show. I thought of it after I had turned off the camera, and namely that, you know, if Israel had understood the prophecy of Daniel, they would not have killed the Messiah. Obviously, they would have seen it. So God purposely blinded them so that they would kill the Messiah. They had to fulfill Scripture. They had to fulfill God's ultimate intention. In order to do that, they had to not see what was right before their eyes. And so it took a miracle for God to cause them to not see it. But it was essential for them to fulfill Scripture. They had to be blinded. Likewise, Christianity today has to be blinded to the truth so that they will fulfill their part of prophecy, of Scripture. They don't want to do this. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. But the bad guys, in order to do what they must do, for instance, Judas, who was prophesied of in the Psalms 1,000 years before his birth, had to do what he did, and so he's blinded to the Scripture. All the enemies God brings against Israel, who he predicts in Scripture, they don't see themselves in the Word of God, because, again, if they did, they would not crucify the Lord of glory. They would not be fulfilling God's intention. Satan is doing exactly what God wants him to do. He's doing it by a thorough ignorance of what God is doing, even though it's plainly written. So obviously, Satan is blinded to the truths of the Scripture, and so are Christians, so are the Jews back in the day. God purposely blinds people, makes people stubborn to his will, his revealed will, so that he could fulfill his hidden intention. To do that, they have to look at passages of Scripture and not see the truth. That is a miracle.